Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Golden Country Radio Show. This is Ramona Diane.
This is train that bound for glory, and it's almost ready to go home.
Richardson. I'll be your host again for this evening and every Thursday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And boy, as always, I have an incredible show for you in store. I have not only music from independent artists like Ramona Diane, which you just heard, but also, I have Matt Boone. I have some exciting news from the independent world of music for you, and that'll be including Bo Heatherly. And most importantly, tonight I have a very special guest joining us in just a few minutes. Her name is Jamie Mansfield. She is an author, and she is an incredible artist, and she is an educator, and she is a mom, and she's a wife, and she just wears so many different hats. And she's such an incredible woman. I cannot wait to share with you the story about her, but also about her third book that has just come to new release. In fact, I'm on chapter 31 of this new book and couldn't put it down. For the last 2 days, I have just thrown myself into the story, and she tells it so well. So excited to have her on the show tonight, and we will definitely bring her on soon. But thank you for joining us this evening. I appreciate it. You're joining 16 different countries representing 6 different continents that have tuned into my show. And I'm just so grateful that I have you here with me to share my music and share the stories of others who share the same passion about music, especially country music, with you. So this next song is my rendition of a Dolly Parton song. This is called Coat of Many Colors.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth, where I recall a box of rags someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, and every piece was small. I didn't have a coat, And it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece of love. She made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told the stories from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore. And then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my Mama made for me, made from only rags, but I wore it so proudly. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. Well, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my Mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the stories Mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. They didn't understand it, though I tried to make them see. One was only poor, only if they chose to be. I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my Mama made for me, made just for me.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden Country Radio Show. That was me, Julie Richardson, singing my rendition of Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors. And I just, again, I appreciate you being here tonight. I know Dana Hufstetter's listening in. I know Carly Hughes is listening in. And a lot of my regular listeners, I can see you're there. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the support more than you'll ever know. Speaking of support, if you're out in Nashville or you plan to go to Nashville anytime soon, I know it's kind of tough with this virus, but if you plan to get out there, you need to visit John A's Restaurant. It's right there in Music Valley Road. It's right across from the Grand Ole Opry and the Opryland Hotel. Tucked back in there is a gem of history. And it is John A's Restaurant. They have a brand new scratch kitchen. They have an amazing happy hour menu with the best bourbon and whiskey selections around. They have live music out on their patio and giveaways, and they're open Thursdays or Sundays. And I hope that you'll show up out at John A's. Ask about the corner, ask about the legacy that John A. Hobbs left, and definitely visit the family's establishment there. They have John A.'s Restaurant. They also have the Scoreboard just across the street there, as well as the Nashville Palace. So there's a long story there, and of course you can read that in my book about John Hobbs, the Music Valley's legend, basically. He was a visionary, so... And again, I have exciting news tonight before I bring on my special guest, Jamie Mansfield. But my exciting news is last couple of weeks we've had our fingers crossed. We've been moving up out of 60 people on the Indie World Independent Charts by Wayne Hodge. My song with Bo Heatherly that we recorded last December in Virginia together, our duet hit number one and platinum status on a different chart, but now it was on this Indie World chart. And this week, I am proud to tell you and share with you, my listeners, that our song, If I Needed You, soared to number one, and we finally hit the number one spot on that second chart. And couldn't be more proud that we've had incredible airplay from all over the world. And I thank the DJs all over the world that have played this song and made it number one for us. And I'd like to play it for you now before we bring on our special guest. This one's called If I Needed You, number one on the Independent World Country Charts.
if I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me for to ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the sea for to ease your pain.
The Golden Country Radio Show. I'm your host, Julie Richardson. That was Bo Heatherly and myself singing our newest number one on the indie world charts, If I Needed You. That's our rendition. So happy to share that with you. I'm super excited. And thank you again for all the support and my fans out there that keep listening and all the DJs that keep playing my music day after day and week after week. I really appreciate it. So my next guest is I hope we have enough time to just tell you all the amazing things about her. She's not only a friend, she's been a colleague, but, you know, she just is not only just an author and an artist, she's a speaker and an educator, and kind of her motto is loosening the reins and leaning into a creative life. That seems to be her sweet spot, and she has so much going, and she's written two books before this next one. And I've read them all. I'm on chapter 31 of Seasoned, and we're going to get into that, but I just got it 2 days ago, but I could barely put it down. It's just, you know, it hits at the heartstrings of everything that's going on in everybody's life. I mean, you know, especially when you talk about a love story and the fact that love knows no age. And, so her first two books won multiple awards, and her first book was Chasing the Butterfly, and I read that, you know, cover to cover, and twice actually, and it's set in the south of France, and I'll let her tell you a little bit more about it. And then her next book that came out won multiple really cool awards, and that was called Rush, and I'm a sucker for that one because I love American history. That's what I went to school to do at the University of Colorado, and I got my degree in it, and that was my teaching certificate, is to do American history. And so, of course, I ate that one up because it's set in Oklahoma in the late 1800s. And I'll let her tell you the story. But this next one is just heart-wrenching because it just tugs at the heartstrings, I think, that everybody can relate to. So please let me bring on my friend, and I have a lot of respect for you. This is Jamie Mansfield. Welcome, Jamie.
Well, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thanks for the nice introduction. And I got to say, I got to hear your song.
I know.
I teared up listening to that song. Love, love, love that. So congratulations to you. What an incredible
Thank you so
honor.
Much. Yeah, it is.
That's
you know, and especially on
news.
Indie World, it's, you know, there's a lot of charts out there, but this one has a lot of respect and holds a lot of weight in the world of independent music. And so anyway, mm-hmm. to ride that wave for a year, but, you know, it pales in comparison with what you've been doing and just with your life. I mean, I stand in awe of you every day. I mean, you're my friend, and I know we don't always get to talk a lot because life gets in the way, but I do follow your accomplishments, and you know, I'm just in awe of you, and I'm super excited to have you tonight on my show. And I know there are a lot of people anxious to hear this and hear about your new book, and just, you know, I want to tell them, I mean, you're just so many things. You know, you're not just an author, you're not just an artist, you're not just a speaker, and you're not just an educator. You're just all those things in one, and so much more. And I'm excited to share your life with my listeners, because that's what this show's about, sharing my music, but also sharing the music and the talent of other people out there that you may or may not know. And I'm hoping that they'll go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and definitely pick up one, if not all three, of their books and give them as gifts for Christmas, definitely.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The sentiment's mutual. We've had a good ride together. Many more miles to come, I bet.
Yes. God willing, I hope. Don't jinx it. I'll be knocking on wood here. But, you know, so I remember, because we worked together, for those of you who don't know, I met Jamie and we worked together at Aspen Academy. And I remember going into your art room, because she taught art classes there. And I mean, she blew the program away. She set the bar so high that a collegiate couldn't even like touch what you did to that school as far as their program and how you changed it and just took it to a much higher level. But I remember coming into your room afterwards and helping you clean up brushes, and we would just talk, you know, we would talk about books. And that's kind of, I was in the midst of writing John A. Hobbs, you know, The Life and Times of Music Valley's Visionary. And I was getting inspired by, you know, you, and we just kind of, we talked about just life and writing, and it just was so, you know, therapeutic. But anyway, enough about that. I want you to be able to tell my listeners, of course, who you are. You know, they can go on your website and see your bio and all that, and we'll talk about that. But I want to know who you are, and I want to know about these three books, especially, you know, I want to promote Seasoned, because I really feel like, I mean, they've all been incredible, but this one, I don't know, it just has this different light and love to it that, you know, I think it's going to be one of those that you think about and you think back on throughout your life, this whole concept of grace, you know. So I'll give it over to you, because I could talk all night about you. So but just tell us a little bit more, so people understand who you are, and, you know, tell us about your studio and your programs, and just have at it.
All right. Well, I'm kind of hanging out here at the base of the Rocky Mountains, the foothill area of Denver, and grew up here and pretty much called this home. Although I've always loved to travel, and that was an inspiration for my first book, Chasing the Butterfly, which, as Julie said, was set in Paris and Provence. And that was my debut novel. That, just to tell you the truth, it kind of happened. I never set out to be necessarily an author. I started taking writing classes just because I think it's, the whole craft of writing is fascinating. And I got to say, I think it's about one of the most difficult things I've ever done. It's extremely humbling.
That I can attest to.
Yes. We've talked many times about that. It's very challenging and tedious sometimes, but it's an amazing process. So that book kind of grew out of the fact that I had traveled to Paris and Provence quite a bit, and being an artist and being a woman, all of a sudden there was a character that just kind of popped into my head, to tell you the truth. And then all of a sudden I had a very vivid opening scene, and I just started writing this book, not with the intention, again, of publishing or anything. I just thought, I'm going to do this. And it was kind of in conjunction with these writing classes I was taking. And at that point, I had to kind of decide if I wanted to lean toward the fiction or the nonfiction route. And I thought, well, I'm kind of having a good time with this story. I think I'll continue down the fiction path. And that story just really grew and grew. And I get asked often where the story inspirations come from. And I was actually talking to a group of fifth graders today, so the visiting author. And, you know, whether you're speaking with adults or kid, you know, writers, the answer is really the same. The stories come from, I think, a very deep place in my heart. And they grow out of what kind of perhaps is happening at that time in my life, things that I'm reflecting upon. And then, you know, the great thing about fiction is you get to have characters come along and kind of play that out. And they get to go through the trials and tribulations and have the highs and lows of life and the successes and the failures and ultimately resolve, hopefully achieve what they're going after at the end of the story. So Chasing the Butterfly, you know, grew out of a time in my life with a lot of changes, deciding if I was going to be teaching or not. It's a really beautiful story about, like I said, an artist in the south of France and then later in Paris. And she paints her beautiful paintings that are really metaphors of her life, and secretly holds on to them. And they're, of course, discovered, and that unravels into a whole bunch of other scenarios. And so it has a very literary feel to it. A lot of people have said when they read it, they kind of feel like they're in Provence, perhaps the sunflower and poppy fields, or strolling the streets of Paris. It begins in World War II and goes up actually through 1960. So that was a really exciting journey to write that book.
Well, and for me, before you go on, I mean, for me, you talk about, you know, just it's literary and people feel as if they're there. And I think that's what I love most about your writing is not only do you paint pictures, but you paint a story. In one sentence, I can visualize, I can smell, I'm almost using all of my my senses to read even each sentence. The way you paint the picture for people in your writing is absolutely incredible. And they feel like they're on a vacation almost. They've escaped. And I think that's why we all read in some ways. And we look at these characters like Ella, you know, in Chasing the Butterfly. And we just go, you know, I can resonate with that. I get it. And but the way you paint it, just so artfully, really, you know, every word, you're just like, I can visualize this. And, you know, when you get to seasoned, because I've met your mom, which is kind of the basis of that character, and we'll get to that. But now I find myself, and it's set locally, like it's, you know, you're talking about gold, and you're talking about Lookout Mountain, you're talking about Evergreen, you know, and I guess I'm kind of at an advantage over people who don't live in this area, because now I have my own vision and my own history that comes to mind. But if you've never been here, Jamie paints it perfectly, and you feel like you've been to Colorado and you've lived it just reading her words. So I just had to put that in there.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, kind of a segue, I guess, or a little side note. And if the, you know, if the listeners have a chance to pull up the books on, probably Amazon would be the easiest place to access them, and see the covers of the book, all three of them have a painterly appearance.
Yeah,
and that's kind
that
of
was my next point.
Itself. Yeah. But and there's an art thread through each book. That's an important part of each theme, is just the transforming power of art. In my case, it's visual art, because I am a painter. yet really just the whole creative process, whatever that happens to be. It's extremely powerful. So you'll see in the cover of the books that they're very painterly. The covers definitely are quite beautiful, and I'm very proud of them. And so, you know, I'm not that you always want to choose a book by its cover, but the book covers are really a sight to see.
Yes, they are beautiful. And I remember seeing the one on Seasoned on your wall at your home and thinking, you know, I just now it's here on the cover of this book that I'm holding. And how cool is that, you know?
Yeah. And when we start talking about that book, remind me and I'll share a little story about the cover, the actual painting of that book. There's a neat story behind that. And
okay.
Why that was chosen to be the cover of that book. So, so Rush, real quickly, I'll just, you know, go back to that.
Uh-huh.
The theme of that book was inspired by my great-great-grandmother, who actually did ride in the 1893 Oklahoma land run. And she was quite a woman. She had been abandoned by her husband, and she said, I'm going anyway. And she left Missouri and made her way to Oklahoma, borrowed a horse, straddled, didn't bother to ride side saddle, and took
woman off
after
my own heart.
I love it. That's one of my favorite scenes in the book, I think. And she staked her claim and ended up living in a sod house and teaching school out of the sod house. And then she went on to live to a ripe old age into her 80s and was a founding teacher in Oklahoma. So that book was really important to me, just in the sense of researching the family history. I had heard about my great-great-grandmother for years, and she was kind of bigger than real life. But then to actually research and reread the letters that we have in our family and
wow, how neat.
Put that into a fictional setting was really quite an adventure. And that book is really about just perseverance and following one's calling. So that was quite an experience to write that book. I loved it. I went off on a lot of research bunny trails, but learned a lot. I don't know if I could build my own sod house, but at least I know how to do it. I know the steps.
Yeah, you could do it, you know, hypothetically.
That's right.
No, I mean, it was a great book. And again, I liked that one, obviously, because my background's American history. And, you know, I've taught social studies and things like that. And, you know, obviously, my husband loved American history, and he taught it for 33 years. So that one resonated with me, and I've actually been telling friends like Jan Pease about that book and, you know, other people that are really enthralled with American history. And then to have that connection that it's to your family, I mean, that makes it even more exciting. So
yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm just incredible, incredible books that you've written. But this last one, I mean, tell us more about Seasoned again.
Yeah, so Seasoned, boy, and Julie remembers this book has been in – it's been in the works for quite some time. She and I were back in Nashville having a great old time. First time I'd ever been there. And so I really
sitting
got
in the corner.
Tour of the place that I'd like to go back. But we were, you know, doing a lot of talking about this book. And she got to, you know, help me read very, very initial scenes, you know, right out of the gate. And the book obviously changed quite a bit since then. A lot of rewrites. This book made me work for my money, for sure. A lot of rewrites. It was originally written as a time slip, so it was set, if you kind of think back to The Notebook, Nicholas Sparks' book, it was written in contemporary time, and then actually would go back in time. The publisher, after many discussions, we decided to put it into actually a contemporary setting from which it was told, because of the age of the protagonists, both in their 80s, there's a lot of history in the book, which I love because I love history. So just inherent of the protagonist's age, we get to enjoy a lot of story that weaves us back into time. But Seasoned, you know, I said books kind of come out of what's on my heart at that time in my life. And I'm what am I now? I had to think about that. I'm 56, and so my own mother is 85. And I was really kind of at that point just watching her age and that reality that I'm going into that part of my life where my mother is getting older. And my father had passed away back in 2007. They had a long, beautiful marriage. And I saw my mom, a very vibrant, outgoing social woman, very, very lonely. And it was just very interesting to just watch the dynamics of her life and how my role with her was starting to change and be redefined. We've always been very close. But I had dared her to go on online dating, not to get married, but just companionship.
Sure.
And she thought I was crazy, but I have a tendency to be strong-willed, so I talked her into it, and I said, but Mom, here's the deal. I'll be your ghostwriter. So if we get any, if you get any responses, I'll log into your account, and I can, we'll get on the phone together and respond. Well, we did that, and we actually laughed and giggled. And we had quite a good time with that, and it was just about when she just done a month subscription, and it was about to expire, and she said, okay, you know, this has been fun, ha-ha, but, you know, leave my love life to me. I'm fine. I don't need to be doing this. Well, she called one day. I think she had maybe a day left on her subscription, and said, do you think it would be safe for me to have coffee with a gentleman who lives nearby? And I said, well, first of all, I don't even know about this. I'm supposed to be your ghostwriter. You haven't said anything to me.
Right, and you're setting it up behind me.
That's right. So come to find out, she had been talking with a gentleman, and she decided to go have coffee. Well, that's really what happened in real life, and that coffee turned into lunch, that turned into dinner the next night, that turned into an absolutely beautiful, nearly 12-year, amazing, beautiful love story. This gentleman, Frank, had been married for 60 years, had previously lost his wife, and really was in quite the same boat. Mm-hmm. So I was not only inspired by that meeting, but watching their amazing courage to love again.
Right.
And just it just kept resonating with me that love truly knows no age. And we are designed as people that want to be loved and love. And
right.
That doesn't mean that, you know, everyone out there that, you know, people that don't have their spouse or their loved one anymore, that this is the ticket for everyone. But it was something that happened in my mom's life and in Frank's life that really gave both of them a whole really new lease on life. And my goodness, their social life was much bigger than mine, and they were fortunate that they got to travel all. I mean, they really did. They got out some miles and traveled around the world and did amazing things together. But more than just even what they did, it was a testimony to their past marriages, their past spouses and the families, how much richness came to their life through. I mean, Frank was a World War II Korean Vietnam vet, 10th Mountain Division. I have tremendous respect for him. And he really became a second father to me.
Wow. And, you know, for my listeners out there, if you go to Jamie's website, which is JYMEH Mansfield, and I'll put it on my website as well, but you can see pictures of her mom and Frank together. And, you know, he's decorated in his, you know, he's in his uniform and has his medals, and it just really is kind of cool, you know, to put the picture to what Jamie's saying, you know. And I don't know if I'd have the guts to let my mom date again. I'd probably, like, you know, I'd be the one with the shotgun at the door going, okay, who are you? You know,
yeah.
I mean,
I think it was a little harder for my brothers, to tell you the truth. And then on the flip side of it, Frank has five living children, and two of his daughters were the ones that were really the gatekeepers to before they met my mom. But I actually had a Zoom launch the other night, and Julie, you were on it.
Yeah.
And his daughters joined us from, they live around the country,
neat.
And one of his sons. And it was really, one of his sons said it was an incredible melding of two families.
Yeah.
It doesn't always go that way, but we were really incredibly blessed that we embraced Frank and he and his family mm-hmm. raised my mom. So I guess, you know, when I have to kind of pause and think, you know, the book is fictitious. I mean, I'm a fiction writer, so the characters were made up, the plot line. But
could it, would it be safe to say that
truism?
But would it be safe to say that you're Allie in the book?
I mean, it's so funny. I really tried not to be, but I think I just couldn't help myself.
You know, and going back to the Zoom just real quick, and then we'll take a quick music break, and then we'll come back and tell people obviously how to, you know, how to find out more about your artist studio and your books and all that, you know, since we don't have a lot of time. But
sure.
You know, one of the things that struck me during the Zoom meeting was when your mom came on and she said, you know, I just didn't want the story to end. I've read it and read it. And it's like, you never want this story to end. And, you know, I'm kind of finding that way too, as I get towards the end and, you know, I'm on chapter 31 and I'm just like, you almost don't want it to end. You just want to keep hearing more and more episodes. And, but I just thought that was so poignant and it really hit me the other night when she said that. And it's so true in life. Like none of us want this to end, you know, and
yeah,
meant a lot. So, well, let me take a quick music break. We're going to play, I've been trying to play music that kind of goes along with what we're doing tonight, but this next song is me singing, Love at the Five and Dime. And I think it's pretty, pretty goes right along with what we're talking about. And then I want to bring you back on. We'll talk real quick about the Seasoned cover and how the painting came about. And then just tell us how we can know more about you and maybe go to your book signings that are coming up and your book releases and, you know, get in on some artist workshops and writing workshops and Piggy Toes, you know, studio with the coffee and canvas and all the good stuff you're doing. So hold on and I'll bring you back on.
Sounds great.
Rita was 16 years, hazel eyes and chestnut hair. She made the world worth counter shine. And Eddie was a sweet romancer and a darn good dancer. They'd waltz the aisles of the Five and Dime. Eddie played the steel guitars. Mama cried because he played in the bars. Kept young Rita out late at night. Soon they married up in Abilene, lost a child in Tennessee. Still that love survived. As they say, dance a little closer to me. Dance a little closer now. Dance a little closer tonight. Dance a little closer. The baseman's wife. Oh, but he was back by June, singing a different tune, sporting Miss Rita back by his side. And they sing, dance a little closer to me, dance a little closer now, dance a little closer tonight, dance a little closer to me. Hey, it's closing time, and love's on sale tonight at this Five and Dime. Eddie traveled with a ballroom band till arthritis took his hands. Now he sells insurance on the side. Rita's got a house to keep. Dime store novels and a love so sweet. They dance to the radio late at night. And they sing, dance a little closer to me. Dance a little closer now. Dance a little closer tonight. Dance a little closer to me. Cause it's closing time and love's on sale.
Dime. That was Love at the Five and Dime, and you're listening to the Golden Country Radio Show. I have with me Jamie Mansfield, and we're talking about the books that she's written, especially her latest release. This is about Seasoned, and it's a love story, and it's incredible. And tell me how, Jamie, tell me how the cover, how did that painting come about?
Well, there is a very close friend of mine, very talented artist, Kelly Berger. She is a Colorado-based artist, and she and I, oh gosh, we back in the day worked in advertising together and then lived together and then ended up having each other in our each other's weddings and then had kids even the same time. So we have a long, long history.
Wow.
Yeah, with the first book, Chasing the Butterfly, my agent at the time had mentioned to the publisher, you know, hey, Jamie paints. Would you be interested in her painting the cover? And publishers typically don't kind of go for that sort of thing. They
right.
like to sort of have their design team do that. But for some strange reason, the publisher said, yeah, let's give her, let her take a shot at that. Well, it sounded great at the time, but then I really, as it got closer and we were going through the editing process, I thought, oh, this is just too much. But I didn't want to lose kind of control of some influence on the book's cover. So I called up my friend Kelly and I said, oh, my goodness, we have this opportunity. Would you read this manuscript? And if you're so inspired, would you consider painting a picture for it? And she read the manuscript. Fortunately, she loved it. She painted a beautiful field of poppies. And that was the cover that was used. And the publisher was so thrilled. It really influenced the initial book launch. And they've kept it as the book cover because it's done so well. And then when Rush came out, they said, hey, would that friend of yours paint the other book cover? And
no
the
pressure.
Nice thing is it kept that painterly feel through
yeah.
that I wanted. So the books
oh,
have
nice
a, they are a painted cover. And so, but it was odd with Season. I had a Kelly didn't know anything about this new story, and I went to one of her gallery shows, and it was a culinary theme. And I walk into this show, and there is a painting of a kind of a vintage, beautiful glass salt and pepper shakers. You know, I mean, who would typically paint something like that, right? Hanging on the wall of this gallery, and it stopped me dead in my tracks, truly. And I stared at it, and I said, oh my goodness, that's the painting that's in the book.
Yeah,
that's
neat.
In the story. It was a manuscript at that point, and she had no idea what I was talking about. And I told her about the story, and she said, "Well, take it off the wall and see what I happen to title this piece." So I take it off and I flip it over, and on the back, on the frame, she had titled it "The Perfect Couple." So of course I had to buy this painting immediately, but I said, this is the cover. I said, are you okay? Are you okay with having another painting on one of my books? And she's been so supportive. So at first the publisher was like, well, that's kind of odd. You know, this is a love story. It should have like people holding hands or, you know, whatever.
No, but I mean, with the title being
Seasoned,
this was perfect. I mean, you couldn't have picked a better cover.
No, it's a beautiful cover. So
I
could be more happy with it. And just the fact that she's such a good friend. And I mean, that was truly a come full circle moment.
Oh, yeah. That's so
to
cool.
To have her do that. Yeah, love.
I'm glad you didn't ask me to do it because I would totally be painting like stick figures. I have absolutely no right brain for art. It would have been like, it would have been awful. So I'm glad you didn't ask me to try that.
Well,
we
have about, ever made it to a movie, you can do the ballads for it.
Yeah, I'll do all the songs for it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
now we're talking.
Go.
But we have about 3 minutes left of the interview. And I just want, you know, I mean, you have artist workshops. And, you know, I still have this dream that we're going to do an artist workshop in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I'm going to see that to fruition as soon as this virus clears up for all of us. But you have wine and art nights, and they just need to go to your website. I know for sure it's Jamie, Jaymeh Mansfield at
and it's
something
.com.
I had it.
Good old .com. And it's strange
easy.
Because it's a lot of people get my name mixed up with the old Jane Mansfield. So you have
to really think carefully.
J-A-Y-M as in Mary, letter H. That's my middle initial for H. or Hannah, my maiden name. So Jamie H. Mansfield. Yeah, you can see the artwork on there. There's lots of information if you happen to be in the Colorado area for art classes in my gallery here. Big
Floral
Abstract.
Well, and you have upcoming events for, you have an upcoming signing and you have, you know, I mean, there's some private events on there, but people can also, they didn't realize, like, I used to work for Piggy Toe Studio. That's another story, mm-hmm. but, you know, just doing odds and ends. But I tell you, it's pretty cool because, you know, you have private events, you can host parties and birthday parties and things like that as well. I know, again, with COVID right now, but you also have on your website, and I want to tell our listeners real fast about it, but you can go in and there's merchandise, and I bought one of your masks, and you have the coolest, you know, floral painted masks. I bought one of those, and, you know, all your books, but I've also bought all of your, like, your cards. There's note cards. There's just all kinds of really cool stuff that's all Jamie's art, and you know, you can pick up the books and everything else, and so, you know, absolutely incredible. Just it's a well-designed website, but I went to amazon.com and I'm telling you, I'm a Prime member and I had the book in my hand in less than 2 days, so that'd probably be the quickest way to get it.
Yeah, it's definitely the quickest, and it's available on Kindle and paperback. The audio version, they say they're going to do one, but I don't know the date of that. They usually roll out the others, and then the audio, you know, comes along later. But I'm just enjoying the launch of the book, and it's been getting really wonderful, positive responses. And I had a reader the other day get in touch, and she said, "Boy, it's about time that there's a story about some older people."
Mm-hmm. That's true. But
that's what most love stories are about, the younger generation. But
love to love.
So,
absolutely. And, you know, and it just, again, it tugs at the heartstrings, and it's everything that I think we all feel the same feeling. So I just can't thank you enough, honestly, for taking your time this evening. I know you're super busy with everything going on, and just to stop and come on the show and, you know, just let people hear more about you. And I, you know, I know that great things are headed your way. And I want to thank you for being here, obviously, and I'm going to keep promoting it and so forth on my end, but I wanted to play a song to end this interview by Elvis Cardin. He's going to be on my show in December, but he's an independent artist that was a Vietnam veteran, and this will be in honor of Frank, who, you know, he went to Vietnam. He went, you know, a lot of different wars he was in, and very decorated, and so I wanted to dedicate this next song to him. It's called Vietnam Blues. It first released in 1967, so it's kind of fun. But again, Jamie, thank you. And, you know, tell Graham and your family, everyone, hello for me. And I know
will.
We'll be in touch. We'll have to go back to the Fort restaurant and sit out there and catch up.
Yeah, and I have a great idea for an art writing retreat, so we got to talk. But thank you, listeners. It was such a pleasure. Really, the pleasure is mine. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much. That was Jamie Mansfield, and this song is for Frank. He's a character that was based on Frank's life, is in the book Seasoned, which he just released. This one's called Vietnam Blues.
Got a woman in the bedside, but she's so
Ramona Diane with Antique Heart, and you're listening to the Golden Country Radio Show. I've been your host, Julie Richardson, and we had special guest tonight, Jamie Mansfield. She's talking about her books that she wrote, and just glad you tuned in tonight. But if you do miss a show ever, you can certainly go to my website, which is julierichardsonmusic.com, and you can just navigate to the radio page and click on any button on that page, and those are the past shows, and they're on demand, so you can listen anytime you want for free. And Jamie's show, tonight's show, will be on there just as soon as we finish this evening. So if you want to go back, or you want to share, or you want to, you know, tell someone about it and say, hey, you got to hear this, just visit my website, and you can also see about my music and my books, and definitely visit jamiehmansfield.com's website, and, you know, go to her merchandise page and check out her books and just the descriptions and the pictures and her artwork and her Piggy Toe Studios. You will not be disappointed. This next song is called Weary Kind, and it was actually a song that was in the movie Crazy Heart, which is filmed in Santa Fe, one of my all-time favorite places to visit. And Jeff Bridges starred in that film, and unfortunately he's undergoing treatments for lymphoma, and you know, been kind of doing comments and stuff on Facebook, and I know he's going through a lot. So I thought I would play this next song. It's called Weary Kind and dedicated to Jeff Bridges.
Your heart's on the loose. You rode the sevens with nothing to lose. And this ain't no place for the weary kind. You called all your shots, shooting 8 ball at the corner truck stop. Somehow this don't feel like home anymore. This ain't no place for the weary kind. This ain't no place to lose your mind. This ain't no place to fall. Up your crazy heart and give it one more try. Your body aches, playing your guitar, sweating out the haze. The days and the nights all feel the same. Whiskey has been born in your side, it doesn't forget the highway that calls for your heart inside. This ain't no place for the weary kind. This ain't no place to lose your mind. This ain't no place to fall behind. Pick up your crazy heart and give it one more try. Your lovers won't kiss. It's too damn far from your fingertips. You are the man who ruined her world. Your heart's on the loose. You rode the sevens with nothing to lose. Hey, this ain't no place for the weary kind.
This is Golden Country Radio, and you were just listening to Weary Kind that went out to Jeff Bridges, love and light to you, man. I hope, you know, your health comes back to you and you keep giving us great movies and enjoy your life. And thank you again for tuning in tonight. I've had a wonderful show. Check out Jamie Mansfield. And I'm going to leave you with this next song called Don't Let the Old Man In. And again, this is Julie Richardson with the Golden Country Radio Show every Thursday night, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And until next week, stay well and so long.
Knocking on my door, and I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived, my body's weathered. Ask yourself, how old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? Try to love on your wife, stay close to your friends, toast each sundown.